This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
To a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
It takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave.
Jade, what a cool show that we've got lined up today. Mm-hmm. We've got Christina Perry, international pop sensation.
Yeah.
We've got that interview coming. What on earth are we going to do to possibly, you know, lead people up to this momentous occasion in the meantime? It really is. We are just the opening acts on our own show. Whenever there's an international pop star on, we're just opening acts, aren't we? We're the Danny to their Kylie.
Danny's fine.
Yeah, I'm a huge Danny Minogue fan.
I would settle for Danny's career.
I'm ready for the Danny Minogue anti-tour. Because you know how Kylie had the anti-tour where she played her rarities and B-sides. I feel like Danny Minogue would do very well with an anti-tour.
Well, you know what, Dave, the Danny song that I actually know is This Is It.
Well, she has to play that. I mean, that's you know, her big hit, right?
Would that be on the anti-tour?
I don't think, technically, if you're having an anti-tour, you shouldn't be playing your big hits. But it's been a while since Danny Minogue's been on tour, so I feel like she needs to indulge people. Yeah. Heck, she should just do an arena tour full stop.
Well, she could do what I saw Ben Lee do once, Dave, which was an entire gig where you just call up what you wanted him to play and he would do it.
Oh, okay. I don't know if Danny and her band would be ready, though, because I feel like Danny Minogue fans would have a really strong, you know, grasp of her discography. So they might ask for, like, track 9 on her first album, and maybe her and her band might not have prepared for that. So, you know, you got to be careful with these things.
I wish that this night.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
Jay, this has to go down in the history books.
It is a bit of a historical moment.
It is a monumental moment for you and I on Different Strokes because, as people can probably tell, you and I are quite different people and we have different tastes in music.
Mm-hmm.
I love my flamboyant pop, so things like Glambert, which we just heard before, is more my kind of thing. And whereas you are more drawn to artists like Regina Spektor, Missy Higgins, so therefore...
Anything Plinky Lala.
Anything Plinky Lala, kind of indie alternative-ish. Mm-hmm. Now, Jade, it's... of great surprise that you and I have agreed that Missy Higgins should be our music pick of the week.
Yep.
I don't know how we came to this. Well, did you spike my drink?
Obviously, Dave, I would never expect you to, like, be interested in Missy Higgins. But
she is a pop act, though. I mean, three number one albums.
Yeah.
It's a bit hard to ignore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was huge. I mean... I remember when I went over to the US, and that was 2005, 2006, she was huge because The Sound of White had just come out.
Mm.
And she was really huge here. And I remember seeing her in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it was just her with a guitar and a piano. No, she was a support act for some other band. No one else knew who she was.
Mm. She definitely has a strong following in the States, some sort of cult following in the States.
And it was like after doing that tour, she became really big there because, you know, obviously the album had come out later there and now has, you know, a a following over there, but she's been kind of missing in action.
She has been missing in action for a while. So the new album, The Old Razzle Dazzle, which, by the way, debuted on top of our Australian ARIA charts at number one, mm-hmm. Selling over 15,000 copies in its first week. So she, although she has been absent for, what, 5 years or so, mm-hmm. no sign of slowing down, Jade. And I was a little worried about this album because the first single, Unashamed Desire, that didn't do too well. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, God, Missy Higgins, what are you doing? This sounds like some Washington track that Washington didn't want. So I was a bit hesitant, Jade, because I did enjoy The Sound of White.
Yeah.
I wasn't thoroughly on board for Missy Higgins' second album, but this one, The Old Razzle Dazzle, I can tell you guys, it's one of the best albums of 2012 so far.
And I was literally shocked when you texted me to tell me that you were very, like, you were all going to go with some other album for this week.
I was going to go, because now at this period of time of the year, you guys have to realize, apart from Christmas, the June period's really, you know, massive for new releases as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of albums vying for our attention, and for both of us to agree on Missy Higgins, oh yeah, it's all happening. It's not different strokes, it's same strokes.
Yeah. Well, what I find really interesting about this album is she's tried to go for something a bit different, and it's obviously different to what you expect from, like, something like The Sound of White, which was very, like, it was
stripped back
and just her and Plinky Lala.
The Old Razzle Dazzle, the current album, does have more elements of rhythm in it, so it sounds like she's kind of experimenting, but it's nothing too out of the box, you guys.
No.
I can guarantee you that if you're a fan in the past, you're going to appreciate the melodies that she's bringing to the table here. There's still warmth in the vocals, so
it's still very much her.
It's still very much her, so it's totally... To me, it's a totally bankable album. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a listen now to the album opener track, Set Me On Fire, which hopefully will be her next single, because she needs to get herself back on the radio. You see, I'm reading that, you know, first single to filth, am I not?
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling the first single. So let's hope this one does better.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Different Strokes with Jade and Dave.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9.
Jade, what is happening on the Twitter sphere?
Well, Dave, of course, there's been a couple of big stories on Twitter this last week, but some of the trends happening at the moment. NASA has launched a black hole hunting telescope, Dave.
Now, for all you, astronomy, I was going to say astrology.
Astronomy.
Different kind of stargazing here. So astronomy fans out there, this might be particularly interesting
to
you.
Well, what I find really, I mean, I'm a bit of an astronomy nerd, but, like, I like the idea of they're actually going to be able to find parts of the hidden universe, so stuff that we can't see at the moment. And there's, you know, supposed to be, like, they're theorizing that there's black holes at the middle of every galaxy, and by finding out what's in those black holes, you can find out, you know, how it all began, basically. So it's just an interesting thing in
interesting.
Our history.
Yeah. And this is, you know, if there was ever any breakfast show to talk about stuff like that, it would be Different Strokes. Because right here, this is where camp and geek collides.
Yeah, totally.
We just had Kylie, and now we're going to talk about black holes.
Dave, the other thing that's trending at the moment that I thought was interesting, not that I know who this band is, but there's this band called McFly that is ran this Twitter campaign this morning that around McFly follow back, and basically they were asking all of their fans to tweet them and say, you know, McFly follow back as a hashtag and give reasons why they should be followed, and it's worldwide trending topic now, just around McFly, some random
It's
band.
Really interesting, because when you told me that, I was just like, McFly?
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were done, like, in the early 2000s or something. So in this day and age, I think it's so important for bands, especially if you're a boy band or, you know, a band with a lot of good-looking young men.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool, and it's almost essential to tap into the kind of Twitter demographic and the Facebook demographic, because really that's how One Direction went global in the first place.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, they auditioned and came third or something on UK X Factor, and that, you know, that series of X Factor wasn't shown everywhere. It was on YouTube, and next thing you know, they have this huge following online on Twitter, and it just went global. Same with The Wanted, another really popular boy band. So,
well, it's an interesting, like, it honestly is a very interesting way of getting sort of feedback and stuff. And when we play our Christina Perry interview later, she talks a lot about engaging with her audience on social media as well. So it's just an interesting
movement.
It's a
whole new world for pop stars. stars out there. You need to get on there and make sure that you're, you know, engaging with your followers.
And I guess probably the biggest thing happening at the moment, Dave, is the whole Twitter Sweden thing.
Oh, well, how interesting is that? I did not know that Sweden was doing this thing. That basically Sweden has its own national Twitter account, mm-hmm. and every week a different citizen goes on and tweets for the whole week.
Yes, yeah, so they tweet for a week. There must be some audition process behind it. But what's interesting is it's been running for 8 months, right? And then something, you know, the person they've got on this week, Sonia, she has said some slightly controversial things. But, you know, it's kind of an interesting experiment, if you will, because, you know, it's real people saying real things, and whether that works, you know, they're saying they've set it up for tourism purposes, whether mm-hmm. that works because it creates...
Does it promote Sweden?
Yeah, but interesting, Dave, how it pans out from here forward, because, you know, obviously Sonia is now halfway through her week, and I noticed earlier she was tweeting, oh, this is my actual Twitter account, so, you know, after I leave
here... So she's
here,
promoting her own account, yes. So she's trying to get the followers.
Yeah.
She's going to give McFly a run for their money. In any case, I think it would be very cool if you and I could tweet on behalf of Australia just for a week and give everyone across the nation and the world a Different Strokes experience.
I'm sure that would be a very up and down week for us, Dave.
I'm sure it will be.
Dave, we've had some texts come in.
Yes, people sharing with us how long it takes for them to get ready every morning.
Mm-hmm. Anna says, depends on how sucked into Twitter, Facebook I get and playing Words with Friends. I can completely relate to that, Anna. Before I even get out of bed, I've got to check Twitter and Facebook and maybe play some games.
That is totally true with me as well, Anna. I mean, I was checking Twitter when I was under the covers this morning at 4 a.m.
But she says it takes about 40 minutes to shower, dressed, makeup, pack for work, out for brekkie.
At work, yeah. Now, Anna, you see, this is more like an actual time frame for me because the whole mad dash out to work thing, mm-hmm. I don't do that very well. And if I try, it's usually about 40 minutes.
But I feel like the mad dash out is all about preparation the night before.
Yeah. So, yeah, if perhaps I prepared like an Olympic athlete mm-hmm. for, you know, important events like getting out the door on time, A, I wouldn't be so tardy, and B, I might actually cut down my time.
Well, see, Dave, I think that my key thing, I don't take very long to get ready in the morning, but I prepare everything the night before. So my lunch is all ready, everything's ready to go and all packed up. I've got my outfit for the day laid out, you know.
Wow, okay.
And then you just get up and you shower and that's it.
And that's your routine.
Yeah.
I wish I was probably a bit more organized like that, Jade, because on days that I do work out at the gym in the morning, I forget so many stuff because I have to not only pack for work, aka bring my lunch and all that. Mm-hmm. I also need to, you know, make sure that I'm dressed adequately for the gym. I got to bring my outfit for work along with me. So I normally have like 3 or 4 items. I have my gym bag, I have my work bag, and I have a hanger full of, you know, clothes that I would wear later in a day. And then, you know, 2 pairs of shoes are happening here and there. It's a lot of things and I tend to forget stuff. So I go to the gym and I work out at undisclosed number of undisclosed amount of time. Sorry, I'm not revealing how lazy I am.
15 minutes.
15 minutes working out, 45 minutes getting ready. Yeah, that sounds about right. But what I do is I bring a curler with me because I have straight hair, Jade, and mm-hmm. my hair's probably touching my shoulders right now. So I don't like it really flat. So I always feel like I have to curl my hair just a little bit, just give it a bit more volume.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to compromise my look just because I'm at the gym in the morning. So after working out, after I've had my shower there, I plug in my curler and I go to town on it. So it's sort of set up like a bit of a beauty parlor. And as you can imagine, in the men's change room, mm-hmm. this is not an occurrence you see very often.
Well, see, like I'll work out in the morning too, Dave. And like I've got like little old ladies who have their swimming lessons Aww. In the morning. So, you know, I'm like fighting for time with the little old lady.
Are you also fighting for mirror space and all that?
Yeah.
See, none of that happens in the men's change room. Arguably, most of the guys, they are bald, so they're not spending time curling or styling their hair. And I occasionally get strange looks as well while I'm there spending about 15 minutes doing my hair and my face and all that. Mm-hmm. So you do what you have to do to stay fly.
Is that David Lim life advice?
Yeah, there's definitely life advice. You should put that on a commemorative mug and a pillow.
You say that it's about pop artist with character. Pop artist. forget what you've heard. I do listen to Strummy La La music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a different Strokes take on music.
So this is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave, and we are very lucky today to be talking to Christina Perry. Welcome.
Hello.
So you are probably best loved for your breakthrough single that was Jar of Hearts that went to number two in Australia. Are you surprised at how well it went?
Oh, totally. I mean, I wrote Jar of Hearts in my pajamas in my parents' house, like literally, you know, a couple years ago. I just put it in my pocket with all my other songs. I had no idea. And the way that it happened was so organic in the sense, like, if I had signed a record deal, like, I know the label wouldn't have put that song out first and maybe wouldn't have even put it out fourth or added drums and sounds and, like, all this stuff. So it happened in what felt like a really kind of cosmic destiny, you know, kind of universe hippie way. And because of that, it's been surprising me since day one. And I feel like what it does is it's got its own little life.
Now, we've seen shows like Glee cover it. I've definitely heard it on several talent shows.
Already. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And I also notice a lot of people post their covers on YouTube. So do you go on YouTube and just look for covers of your songs?
You know, in the beginning I did because I was like, this is so bananas, you know. And then all of a sudden it became too many for me to keep up with. Like, even my parents would like send me, look at this girl doing your song. And then all of a sudden it's like every couple minutes someone posts a new one. And so I physically probably couldn't see them all. And I definitely get sent ones like the little 7-year-old boy who does like, and he has like a harmony with himself and like this bubble that pops up and things like that really blow my mind. And I get to see them. And especially like Glee, that was incredible and made me feel, you know, super honored that they chose the song. Lea Michele, who I just love, did a great job. And even these talent shows, like the guy on American Idol this year did it, and I think he did it better than me. I really love it.
Would you write a song with your fans? Like, because I feel like you're that type of artist who has definitely through this album been so open and so sharing with your fans that I feel like you're the type of artist that people would want to tell their feelings to.
Oh yeah, I get novels. Very novel emails. I even set up an email address called lovechristina@christinaperry.com because I was getting so many novels like on Facebook in a comment bubble. I'm like, hey everyone. I was like, why don't you share, you know, privately with me over here? And live or in meet and greets, you know, I could sit and talk to someone for an hour. So yes, I am that type of person. And that's a really cool idea. I never even thought about that. I feel like if there was someone who, you know, really wanted to write songs and we clicked, I would definitely not, you know, say no to that opportunity or chance. Maybe one day I will.
I was actually going to ask you about, I did see that I read about you doing your Twitter hashtag promotion and you got people to sort of tweet you their ideas of about love and all of their stories. And I was going to ask you about how, you know, you were saying through Facebook, how do you get, you know, these sort of novels from people telling you their entire life story? Because they're like, oh, well, she's gone out there and given us everything, so I'm going to give her everything back. Yeah. And then how you take that on? Like, do you sort of...
Well, I love it. And it's really been happening that way since day one. So I remember there was this this moment where I felt like I could go either way. Like I could either be private now, you know, because I was becoming more public, or I could just embrace it all and just be myself, which I'm so incapable of not being authentic. Like I'm so like in your face. This is how I feel. This is what I'm going through today. Like I'm such an open book, like even to strangers. They're like, we don't care. So I feel like from day one, I've been that open and communicative with everybody. So it's really me on Twitter tweeting all the time. My Instagram is ridiculous. I'm like addicted to that. And Facebook pretty much all the time is me. But I really embrace that and it's what keeps me going. And it's also what keeps me really grounded and like right-sized. Because I feel like same feelings and emotions. And when you connect with someone on that level, it's a forever friendship. You know, it's that idea of when you're vulnerable or honest with someone, you know, you never forget it. And so I write people back, you know, either my opinion, experience, hope, strength, whatever it is. And it's really a beautiful relationship. You know, I didn't want to feel like all of a sudden I just like my life changed overnight and then I was going to change. I haven't. I'm still the same girl that poured you coffee.
You're listening to Different Strokes with Jade and Dave on Joy 94.9. That was us catching up with international pop sensation Christina Perry, who a lot of you would know for the song Jar of Hearts. Mm-hmm. Very intimate, wasn't it, Jade? We were in the shower with her.
Yeah.
It got a bit awkward after a while.
It was a bit awkward.
There was a bit of accidental boob touching. And that was just you and me. I'll be staying in hostels when I'm going to London and Paris in about a week and a half's time or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, and I've never travelled on my own before, Jade.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a very interesting experience. I am an extrovert by trade, but I'm very much an introvert by nature, Jade. So I like to, you know, have my own space. I like to keep to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the hostel choice is a good one then.
Yeah, because it kind of forces me into a social environment when I'm sharing a room with, like, you know, four other people or something.
See, that would have the opposite effect on me. Like, if I was in a room with lots of people, I would go the opposite.
You would just go inward?
Inward.
Oh, well, Jade, different strokes for different folks, is it not? That's what we're here for. I'm not the type of person who can go a whole day without talking to anyone.
Yeah.
So I would like some company here and there, a little non-committal company, if you will.
Dave Benjamin got in with his tip, which I think is pretty good.
Yeah. It says, pretend to be lost. Okay. Well, I've been rehearsing a couple of French sayings, you know, just to hopefully be able to start some conversation when I'm there, like, où est la Tour d'Eiffel? You know, like, where is the Eiffel Tower?
Well, see, Dave, don't you think, like, doesn't it depend on who you want to make friends with? Like, if you want to make friends with other tourists, then that's one, you've got one set of things that you could do. But if you want to make friends with locals, then that's a whole other set of things.
There's a whole avenue to explore in terms of making friends,
like,
isn't it?
Yeah, because I think, you know, if you wanted to make friends with locals, then you want to go to local places, not necessarily like the high touristy location. So you want to be like hanging out in local night spots and local cafes, right? But
that's exactly what my travel experience should be about, though. And that's why I wanted to go in the first place, to, you know, give myself a bit of time in London and Paris, just to mingle with the locals, just to sit at cafes, sit at parks and just watch people, mm-hmm. as creepy as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But that to me is, you know, my time away to absorb the culture and all that.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.
While I'm travelling alone, I'm going to have a lot of downtime, so hopefully I will be playing on an app
yes.
that you are going to recommend for me. Hint,
Dave,
hint.
Look, Dave, let's be honest. I spend most of my time getting addicted to an app to the point where I'll play it for like solidly for a week and then I have to delete it because I'm too addicted. And
your
then
boss
I go
comes
and
in, your boss comes and taps you on the shoulder and goes, Jade, have you done any work at all today?
No. And then I move on to the next app where I get addicted. Anyway, so I heard about this new one that came out called Zombie Swipe Out, Dave. And basically, for those of you who are fans of something like Fruit Ninja,
mm-hmm.
Where you are basically trying to cut pieces of fruit, that is the entire, that's the entire premise of Fruit
Ninja.
So
you're on your smartphone, you just swivel your finger as quick as you can because your finger acts as the blade.
Yes, your finger acts as the blade. A Zombie Swipe Out works like that, except there's zombies. There is a bit more intricacies in terms of what you're having to do. Like with the Fruit Ninja, you're trying to miss the bombs. With Zombie Swipe Out, you're trying to miss, there's the good guy, Josh, who you are trying not to kill. So you do have to be a bit careful with your blade. There is a bit more of a method to the way that you use your blade. For example, if you hit off, if you knock off the zombie's head, you get more points.
Ah.
So
there's precision as well involved in that.
Yes, and there's all these bonus rounds and all of that. Perfect if you're sitting there like waiting for a tram or a train that's being delayed, that kind of...
My goodness, Jade. I saw this guy at the tram stop last week, actually, mm-hmm. after our radio show, and he was like swiping away like mad on his smartphone. I go, he's probably playing one of those games. And I just want to go up to him and go, you look like a maniac. You need to stop.
It is like it's totally those mindless games that you can play for hours and not even realize where the time went.
And yeah, and you miss your tram stop and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.